Good evening. I'm so glad you chose to tune in and listen tonight. My prayer is that you are richly blessed by your time here on our program, Midnight Harmony. My encouragement for you is to pause for just a moment. Let the cares of the day and this world, the sadness and tragedy of the media, lay to rest as you settle in and listen tonight. Even I have to take a great deal of time to shift my anxiety and cares away from the world and set my eyes and heart on Jesus. This is something that is becoming more and more clear to me each and every day. If I'm not focused on Jesus and His Word, I find myself caught up in all types of chaos, anxiety, and even sin. Nothing is required of you tonight but to rest, listen, and let the words of Scripture encourage you and refresh your spirit. Midnight Harmony began, several months ago when a friend encouraged me to lay down some of my stories and stories of others, but truthfully, Midnight Harmony was created for a young woman named Punky. It's my wife of almost 39 years. We'll celebrate our anniversary next month. I created Midnight Harmony for her because she was having trouble sleeping at night and every night would wake up and find something to listen to on the radio or a podcast. I created Midnight Harmony so that she would have something to listen to that would draw her in closely to Jesus and at the same time potentially rock her back to sleep. So if you find yourself a little bit sleepy as you listen to my voice tonight, that's all right. Again, my prayer for you is that you find rest, you let your anxieties go, and you find a blessing from God tonight in this ministry. Recently, while visiting a church in Colorado, my wife and I listened to a church elder share about one of their missionary couples suffering trouble in India in regards to visas, business, and the overall status of their mission. It sounded stressful and difficult, but not hopeless. However, the elder made mention that as a group, the elder board had come to the conclusion that God was closing the doors on this couple's ministry, and they requested the couple to return to the States. Many times in our own ministry of help, which my wife and I started 8 years ago, we'll hear a similar theme. We'll share some of the difficult circumstances we've encountered. Some of these circumstances have been life-threatening, others financial, and other times what seem like insurmountable roadblocks. Often, people have said to us, too, that God may be closing the door on our ministry. But why? I ask. He's the one that started the whole thing in the first place. So I want to ask this simple question. Does God give you a vision or lay out a destiny for your life and then retract the offer and close the door? And if so, why and when? Even the psalmist asked in Psalm 77:9, "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. When I deliver an oratory on Scripture, there are two things that are most important to me for you to hear and understand. First of all, what does the Scripture say about the character of God? And secondly, what is the Spirit saying to you about the Scripture? So I want to begin with this question tonight about the character of God. If God gave you a vision to go and serve others, evangelize, share the gospel, bring hope to those who have lost it, then suddenly and without cause is retracting the vision and saying, enough is enough, come home, stop what you're doing, get a real job, settle down, you might find yourself rather confused. Is that within God's character to limit you, stop you, and confuse you? Let's look at God's character and his reason for closing and opening doors. In Genesis 7:16, we read that humanity is destroyed by a flood. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And they went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. This is the first occurrence where we see God close a door in Scripture. Why did God close the door of the ark? Why couldn't Noah and his sons close it themselves? God closed the door firstly as an honor to Noah, because Noah had faith and was obedient. In closing the door, God set a partition between Noah and the world. The door was closed tightly so no water would leak in, and the door was closed quickly so the world could not enter. Noah and his families became jewels in the eyes of God. In Malachi 3:17 we read, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God closed the door on a congregation of people that had the potential to have not only the breath of life, but the resemblance of the Spirit. But because they had become a raw and violent multitude, God separated them from Noah and his family, and he shut them out. This is probably the clearest moment in the Bible when God closed a door. When I refer to this idea, does God close doors, and ask the question of a Christian or well-read biblical scholar, typically they will quickly state this verse in Revelation 3:7, which says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. The verse is commonly quoted as, God opens doors no one can shut, and closes doors no one can open. It's a good verse for the subject, and undoubtedly states that God indeed has the power to shut doors that no man can open. The only problem is that the reference is not speaking of ministries, your job, your dreams, visions, or your destiny. So what is this verse talking about? In this verse, there is reference to three key aspects about the character of God. I'll read it again as you discover these characteristics for yourself. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Did you catch each of them? We find that he is holy, he is true, he can open and shut as he pleases. The idea that God is holy and that he is true are not simply holy and true, as in one might say, he's a jolly good fella. These are very distinct characteristics of God. He is holy in his nature. He is true in his word. Character number one, he is holy. In verse 7 of Revelation 3, Jesus is speaking of himself as God, unlike Revelation 6:10, wherein the same epithets are combined where apparently they belong rather to the Father than the Son. Here in Revelation 3:7, Jesus is speaking of himself. Christ commends the Church of Philadelphia. They were weak, but kept their faith. As the author goes on to tell us in verse 8, it was a rich land and fertile, and they took pride in their vineyards. They took pride in their faith, and holiness was a key to their livelihood. They had been persecuted by Jews proclaiming to be of the house of Abraham, but not. The characteristic of God is that he is holy in nature. Holiness of consecration rather than that which is ethical and indwelling. He is to be hallowed, dedicated, and set apart. Just as the seraphims cried aloud one to another in Isaiah 6:3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The second characteristic of God, which we read in Revelation 3:7, is that God is true. True as opposed to lying. The Hebrew word is veris, is true as opposed to spurious, unreal, or imperfect. It is the word used of the true light in John 1:9, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light in 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The true bread, as we read in John 6:32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And he is the true vine." John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Theologian John Gill says of this truth, "Truly God and truly man, true and faithful in the discharge of his several offices, and in the trust reposed in him, both of the grace and persons of the saints, and in what he undertook to do for them." The third characteristic of God is that he governs. He hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Matthew Henry states it like this: he opens a door. He opens a door of opportunity to his churches. He opens a door of utterance to his ministers. He opens a door of entrance, opens the heart. He opens a door of admission into the visible church, laying down the terms of communion. He shuts the door. He shuts the door when he pleases. He shuts the door of opportunity and the door of utterance and leaves obstinate sinners shut up in the hardness of their hearts. He shuts the door of church fellowship against unbelievers and profane persons. And he shuts the door of heaven against the foolish virgins who have slept away their day of grace, and against the workers of iniquity, as we were reminded in Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence ye are." The closing of this door is similar to when God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam and Eve were driven from the garden to preserve their lives. Had they eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived in eternal sin. Though Scripture does not say he closed the door, it must have definitely felt as though the door were being shut on the bliss and relationship Adam had earlier shared with his God. God has created and secured the heavens by his rightful ownership, as we're reminded in Job 38:10 and 11, regarding the oceans and heavens, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. God's creative process cannot be altered. It is in place for a purpose. At this point, you might be asking yourself, why is it so important tonight? This subject, does God close doors? Let me explain. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, you have been set apart and given power in the Spirit to be witness for Him. So Acts 1:8 tells us. Yet, I often find Christians who abandon this power when things get difficult. Ministry doesn't go as planned, or they face trials and tribulations. They begin to question themselves and their destiny, eventually casting off any future plans with a simple statement, God closed the door. My friend, even I have made this mistake, pointing the blame to God and His sovereignty for my lack of belief or confidence in His word and promises. I began by telling a story of a missionary family that was suffering difficulties abroad and was being called home by the church elders because, as they stated, God had closed the door on their ministry. What I experienced was a very hurt and confused family, whose desire was to stay in the field and serve God as they had been called to do, but in their submissiveness to do what leadership was asking, was abandoning the call. This is why I wanted to tackle the idea, does God close doors, so that you could pray and reevaluate what it is you believe God has called you to do and ask Him to revive your courage and strength to see through your destiny for His glory and kingdom. Now, I stated there were three characteristics of God we can find in Revelation 3:7. But there is one more, a fourth, that cannot be denied. God is sovereign. I'll read the verse one more time as you discover the fourth characteristic of God herein. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Earlier, I referred to Christians who have used this verse to confirm God opens and closes doors as He pleases. But this verse has a very specific purpose. This verse is specific to salvation and the kingdom of heaven. It is not, nor should it be used as a reference to the health of your ministry, your job, your dreams, or your destiny. The author, Christ Himself, is referring to the pathway of salvation. The way and manner in which He performs these acts is absolute sovereignty, independent upon the will of men, and irresistible by the power of men. He openeth, and no man shutteth. He shutteth, and no man openeth. He works to will and to do, and when He works, none can hinder. These were proper characteristics for Him when speaking to a church that had endeavored to be conformed to Christ in holiness and truth, and that had enjoyed a wide door of liberty and opportunity under His care and government. The subject matter of this epistle is that Christ puts them in mind of what He had done for them. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. In Revelation 5:3-5, we read, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. You may have noticed by now, and are asking yourself, What is the key of David to which Christ is making mention in Revelation 3:7? In Isaiah 22:22 we read, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." God said that he was going to dispose wicked Shebna, King Hezekiah's chief steward, and replace him with the faithful Eliakim. And he was going to give Eliakim the key to the house of David. God is indicating that he is giving complete control over the royal household, to which, of course, Christ is solely responsible. In Revelation 1:18 we read, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus holds the key to salvation, my friend. Jesus holds the power over salvation. I wish for you to take a moment tonight before we conclude and reflect on this idea that Christ holds the door open for you to enter into love and salvation with him tonight.
There is no river that runs wide as your goodness. There is no mountain that stands tall as your faithfulness. There is no river that runs wide as your goodness. There is no mountain that stands tall as your faithfulness. And there's nothing else I'll ever need. All of my days your mercy follow me. There is
Well, by now you may be asking the question, then when does God close doors? In the case of Adam and Eve, God closed the door against sin and temptation to preserve Adam's life. In the case of Noah, God closed the door for a saint who had lost hope, but to preserve him as a stronghold for God, as we're reminded in 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the case of David, he stood watch over the door to protect the royal household. God closes doors to protect his holiness, to be set apart. In Ezekiel 44:1-2, we read, "Then he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces to the east, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall be shut." God closes doors to govern his will on earth, as we read in Acts 16. Paul and Silas are forbade by the Spirit to go into Asia. Paul has a vision, and they decide to go instead to Macedonia. And there, they meet a woman by the name of Lydia, and she comes to know Christ. Was that a closed door or redirection and perfect timing for God to do his will? God closes doors in his sovereign love to shut in his own. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Just as he shut in Noah, his family, and the animals, the door will be shut, and you must be on the inside. Matthew 25:10 says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Do you feel like God has shut the door on you? If you find yourself afraid, alone, hopeless, and have a sense that God has indeed shut the door, then you need to be asking yourself these questions. Is there sin in my life, as there was in Adam and Eve's? Because if so, you're challenging God's holiness. Do you trust God? Because if not, he is unable to direct you without blatant and often difficult detours. Do you know God? Because if not, the door is closing, and you cannot afford to miss out on knowing him and all that he has done for you, my friend. God does not close doors on vision, destiny, or dreams that he has purposely laid on your heart. Most of all, he doesn't shut the door on salvation. But you must believe. You must believe tonight. And you must ask for it tonight. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe on Jesus tonight. Be saved into the kingdom of your heavenly Father tonight. God will close a final door, as we read in Revelation 20:3, and you must be in a position to trust him before that great and terrible day. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. My friend, my prayer for you tonight is for you to know God, to enter in to His goodness, His love, His grace, His mercy, and into complete salvation as you find the most beautiful relationship in walking with your Heavenly Father. Do that now, tonight. Believe on Him. Invite Him into your heart and into your life, and enter into that door before the door closes. God bless you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Good night.